Okay, good morning everybody and welcome to Masechta Sota. Today's daf is Sota Daf Beis. We are holding at the very beginning of the Masechta. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children and Le'ili Nishmas' mother, called the Basimcha Alea Shalom. It is also sponsored by Joseph Schick in honor of the yahrzeit of the grandfather of Daniela and Tully Weiss, Mr. Schick, whose yahrzeit was yesterday. It is also sponsored by Dr. and Mrs. Noam Harpaz, Le'ili Nishmas, Noam's mother. Oh, I'm on mute. Oh, whoops. There I am, sorry. Le'ili Nishmas Noam's mother, Bella Bas Yitzchak Baruch, Alav Shalom, Alav Shalom's yahrzeit is today. And also by Ari Rosenberg, Le'ili Nishmas, his grandmother, Peril Panina Bas Rav Yaakov, Alav Shalom. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. And don't worry, you didn't miss much if I was muted for a few seconds over there. So what we're going to discuss today is the following. We're going to start Masechta Sota, and the Mishnah is going to talk about how many Edim are needed for the Kinoi and the Stira and the process. How many Edim are required for each step of the process of Kinoi and Stira, and what exactly the process is of Kinoi and Stira. What do you do to do a proper Kinoi? Then the Gemara is going to discuss right at the beginning the order of the Masechtos. Why are we learning Sota now? How does Sota connect in any way to Masechas Nazir? The Gemara is going to talk about Shiduchim in general, whether Zivugim are predetermined or they're dependent on one's Zuchuyos. And then the Gemara is going to talk about the source that an Eid Echad is believed on Tuma, that when Kinoi is Stira, we have a discussion how many Eidim you need. But to say that she actually was Nivelas with somebody, that there was Tuma, that an Eid Echad is believed. Well, where do we see that from? How do we know that to be true? The Gemara in the middle of Amud Beis is going to tell us the source for each Shita about how many Edim are needed for Kinoi Stira. So there's a lot of detailed drushos and psukim. Then the Gemara is going to tell us toward the end of the daf that it is a very terrible idea, perhaps even an Isser, to do Kinoi Bismanazah, because there's no way to resolve it. You're going to do Kinoi Bismanazah, and we don't have Mesota, so there's no way to ever resolve it. And then the very last Gemara on the daf going into tomorrow's daf is going to discuss the lashon of Kinoi. What the lashon of Kinoi is where do we come up with such a lashon of Kinoi? So there are lots of topics throughout this Masechta, but the Meiri sort of summarizes the Masechta by telling us that essentially there are five topics that we're going to learn in this Masechta. The first perek is going to be the dinim of Kinoi and Stira. And then we're going to learn about in the first, second, and third perek the way we behave with the sota, bring her in front of the kohen to the Beis Hamikdash, the bizyonos that she goes through, the bringing of the karbanos, the curses, the hashka'ah, and how she can become vindicated through the drinking of the mei sota. And then in the fourth perek, we're going to discuss women who are not included in the parsha of sota, whether it be entirely or partially, and women that Beis Din is mekane for them, and if we're mashke them based on the kinoi that's done by Beis Din or not. And then in the fifth and sixth parak, we're going to discuss what type of edus of stira and tuma will a woman become usher to her husband, and will a woman become usher to the boel, and that the mayim is bodek not only the woman but the man as well. And then in the last few prakim, it's going to explain that the parsha of sota can be done b'chal lashon, and all the other things that we say that we can say b'chal lashon. Once we talk about the parsha of sota, we done b'chal lashon. We'll go through everything else that can be said b'chal lashon, and those things that can only be said b'lashon hakodesh. So, but this parak again is about primarily the kinoi and the stira, and the idea of kinoi and stira is the following: if a husband sees that his wife is behaving improperly with other men, and she's going into seclusion with them, and he's worried that there's some sort of affair going on, so he's mekanei her, meaning he warns her, do not go into a secluded area with this person. And she violates that warning, and she goes and has stira, has yichud in a private area. So for a period of time, that's ra'ui libiya. So that stira is mechayiv her to be nivdak al yedei amayim. She has to drink the special water that's either going to be her end, or it's going to be a source of great blessing for her. And kolzman that she doesn't go through that padikas mayim amarim, she's asura lebaila because of a suffix that maybe she was mezana. And the husband has to bring with her to the Karmincha with her to the Beis HaMikdash. Hamikdash. Now that woman is called a Sota. Where do we get the term Sota from? So it's based on the pasuk Ki Sista, that and Rashi writes that it's al shem shenatsa miderech hatznius, that she has veered. It's a lashon of veering or turning away from the derech hatznius. That the pasuk says Sota me'alav va'avar, or alternatively that it's a lashon of shtus, because ein adam chote elam kedichlas po ruach shtus. So Sota is they just changed the shin for a samuch, and it's a lashon of shtus. The reason that the Masechta is called Sota b'lashon yachid and not Sotos b'lashon rabim in the Smichas Chacham, he says it's to be merames that Bnei Yisrael are not nechsha to become Sotos too often. So we say it's like an anomaly. It's a Sota every now and then. You know, you'll have, but it's not something that we ever expect to happen on a regular basis, and that's why we dafka say it b'lashon yachid. So the woman is called a Sota. Her carbon mincha is called a mincha Sota, and that's what we're going to be discussing right now. So the first Mishnah is just going to tell us how the kinyan and stira works, how many edim you need for each of them. Hamakani li'ishto, if a person warns his wife not to go into seclusion with a certain guy because he's choshed that she's mizana with him, Rabbi Eliezer Omer mekani la'al pishnayim, you need to have two edim to verify that you actually gave her that warning. Without edim, you're not going to be ne'eman that you gave her that warning, and therefore you're not going to be able to follow through and give her the meisota when she then has a stira. And if you didn't warn her in front of two edim, it's not a kinui at all. So if she was if she went out and she was nistera, she does not become asura labaila either. Meaning, even if you don't want to give her the meisota, the whole process doesn't start. If the kinui didn't happen al pi shnei edim, then there was no kinui umashke al pi ed echad. But when it comes to if you already had a kinui and now you want to verify that there was a stira, an ed echad is enough to verify that there was a stira which will be mechayev her to drink the meisota. Oh, well, piatzmo, it doesn't even have to be a separate aid. It could be the husband himself. And who adin, the Rishonim point out, the Gemara is going to say that al pi eved, al pi shivcha, anyone who's pasul eidos, an eid echad could be anybody. Why does the Mishnah have to say al pi eid echad and al pi atzmo? So Tosa Rush explains that if it only would have said al pi atzmo, I would have said, yeah, he's neman al atzmo because it's shavya nafshe chaticha di yisura. But maybe another eid echad pasul cannot, or another eid echad even kosher cannot be made and be mechayiv this guy to separate from his wife. And if it only would have said al pi eid echad, I would say, yeah, because neid echad is stronger than atzmo, because neid echad at least can be mitzarif with another aid to become shnei edim. But he's no gabadavar, he can't even be mitzarif with another aid to become shnei edim, to become a proper kat of edus. So that's why the Mishnah mentions both possibilities. That the stira al pi eid echad could be even be al pi eid echad who's not him, or al pi atzmo. Rabbi Yeshua Omer mekanil al pi shnayim umashka al pi shnayim. Rabbi Yeshua says, I agree that the kinoy has to be with shnei edim, but I would go one step further, that even the stira has to be with shnei edim. Tosfos Rashi raises the question, why does the Mishnah have to mention within the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua that mekanil al pi shnayim? That part Rabbi Eliezer agreed to. Or Rabbi Yeshua should have only mentioned the point of disagreement, that we both agree that the kinoy has to be al pi shnayim. I'm just saying, Rabbi Yeshua should have said, I'm just saying that the stira has to be al pi shnayim as well. So he says that Tosfos Rashi explains that he's coming to tell us, like the deal the Gemara is going to make later on, that dafka by kinoy stira in each day edim. But if there's edus on tumma mamish, then afilu eid echad. If there's edus that she actually had bia, then even eid echad would be believed. So Rabbi Yeshua is trying to highlight that there is something that eid echad works for. So that's why he says kinoy, stira, both of those things need shnei edim. But there would be another thing that you'd only need one aid, and that would be edus of tumah itself. So ketzen mekanila, how does the husband go about doing this thing called kinoy? So omer la bifnei shnayim. So there's a girsa issue over here. The Bach changes it from omer la to Amar La, and the reason for the change is because Gemara is going to say that it's usher for an adam to be mekani l'ishto. Lashon of Omer sounds like l'chadchila, this is what you should do. Amar means b'di'eved, this is what the guy did, but no one told him that this is a good idea, because it's not a good idea. That's why the Bach changes it to Amar. So Amar La b'fnei shnayim, al tidabri imish ploni, do not speak with this man. V'dibra imo, and she went and she spoke with him. Adayini mutaris lebesa. That doesn't do anything. Umutaris lechel betruma. Not only that, she mutaris her husband. If the husband's a kohen, she could keep eating truma. Nichnasi imo lebes haseser. But if she went into a private secluded area with him, v'shasi imo kedei tuma, and she waited the amount of time that it would take to have bia, asur lebesa, she becomes asur to her husband, v'asur lechel betruma, and she's not allowed to eat truma until she's vindicated from the mesota, v'imes, and the husband were to die without any children at that point in time, before ever having the chance to give her the mesota and to sort all of this out and figure out was she unfaithful or not, chaletzas v'lomas yevemes, she's going to need chalitza from the brother because there might be a zikas yibum, but she doesn't do yibum because we're afraid that maybe she actually was nivellas to somebody else and she became asura to her husband, and therefore she's asura to the yavam as well. So the Gemara Chav Dalet is going to tell us that there's a machlokas beisham beisilel whether a woman is in such a case is makabel or ksuba or not. But our Mishnah just doesn't get involved in that because we're talking about the isurim shabo, not the dine mamonis shabo. Meaning there might be a debate to be had about the dine mamonis. Did she do anything to lose her ksuba? We don't know. We don't know if she had if she had cheated on him. On the other hand, you don't get to this point of having to drink the mesota if you're behaving properly. So we'll get to that sugya when we get there, but our Mishnah was just more concerned with the Isser and the ritual status and the status of a Sota. So now, says the Gemara, wait a second, why are we learning Sota now? Michti, Tana mi Nazir Salik, we were just finished Meseches Nazir, so my Tana, the Katani Sota, what is it in Nazir that made us think of learning Sota right after Nazir? Why is that an appropriate follow-up to Meseches Nazir? So the Gemara explains, Kidderabi, it assumes like the teaching of Rabbi Titania, Rabbi Omer, Loma Nisvacha Parshas Nazir, Le Parshas Sota. Rabbi doesn't comment on the Masechtas, he comments on the Psukim, that the Parsha of Nazir is juxtaposed in the Torah to the Parsha of Sota. Loma Lecha Shekalara, Sota Beklukula, to teach me that anyone who sees the degradation of the Sota, what she has to go through, Yazir Atzmo Minayayin, the natural inclination will be to refrain from wine because he's going to see the dangers of alcohol and what wine can do and the kinds of averos that it could lead a person toward if a person drinks wine. So that's why Sota and Nazir are juxtaposed with each other. So ask the Gemara, if that's the reason, then listening Sota Vahada listening Nazir, they're in the wrong order. If it's if the way it happens is that someone who sees a Sota Bikulkula, the reaction is Nazir, so then Sota should be before Nazir. And not only that, in what Rebbe's explanation makes perfect sense for what he was trying to explain. Rebbe was trying to explain the Psukim, he wasn't trying to explain the Masechtas. The Gemara applies it to explain the Masechtas, but the Psukim are actually in the right order, that the Psukim have it, that first Sota, then Nazir. So why is it that when doing the Mishnayis, we change the order, we put it out of order? In the Sefer Lishma B'Limudim, it says, Kalaro Sota B'Kilkula, the Lashon of Kilkul implies something that should have been Mesukan. Meaning, Lashon of Kilkul doesn't just mean something that's bad, it means something that had potential, something that could have been great. So that's the way marriage generally works, that a woman could be Azer Kenegdo, and could be something that's extremely, extremely beneficial, and that a good marriage is the greatest thing, and therefore that's what makes it such a terrible kilkul when it doesn't go well. That's Rosota Bikilkula, because of the capacity for goodness in it, and therefore it turns bad. The Me'iri understands the question of the Gemara over here, V'lisni Sota V'adu Lisni Nazir, that according to Rebbe, we should have had Nazir after Sota, because after you see the Sota, you should be Mazir Atzmo Minayayin, whereas Rashi understands that we're just asking from the Psukim, that if your Rebbe's explaining the juxtaposition of the Psukim, so the Tana should have conformed to what the Psukim have. So it's either probably both true, that the Gemara is asking that if Rebbe was explaining the Psukim and we want to use that to explain the Masechtas, so there are two things. First of all, the Psukim are in the logical order, so why aren't the Masechtas in the logical order? And second of all, why would you switch it? Why would the Masechtas be different than the Psukim? So the Gemara explains, Aidi Tetana Ksuba. So the Gemara says, well, you have to zoom out a little bit. It's not like Nazir and Sota are the only two Masechtas over here. There's there's a whole order of Shas. So since we were learning Ksubas, so the Tana Hamadir, and in Mesachas Ksubas we had a seventh parak of Ksubas called Hamadir, which is all about Nedarim. So Tana Nedarim. So that led us to follow up Mesachas Ksubas with Mesachas Nedarim. The idea did Tana Nedarim, and once we were learning Nedarim, Tana Nazir. So we mentioned Nazir, Didami Nedarim, because Nazir is a form of Neder. V'katani Sota k'derabi. And now, once we have Nazir, we have Sota along with it. But we don't want to interrupt between Nedarim and Nazir with Sota, because there's no thematic link between Nedarim and Sota. Nedarim leads you into Nazir, which is a type of Neder, so then it just makes sense to put Sota in right afterwards. So the Gemara is Medayik from Lashon the Mishnah, Hamikane. The Mishnah says, that's the name of the paragraph, Hamikane, that not that you should be Mekane, but Hamikane, if one is Mekane. So it sounds like Diavidin, L'chadchilo lo, that this is a big B'diavid, but L'chadchilo, one ought not to be Mekane L'ishto. So Kasavar Tana Didan, the Tana of our Mishnah holds, Asr L'kanos, you're not allowed to be Mekane L'ishto, because that's going to bring a certain sense of lack of Shalom Bayis, and arguing in Eva, and it's going to cause her bizyonos, and it could be that she's tahora, and you're doing all of this to an innocent person. Tosa Rosh raises the question: so what are you supposed to do? Meaning, you see that the wife is behaving like a prutza, and she's being nistar with all these arayos. So why would it be usher to be mekane her? So he says that it must be that the Tana holds that it's the, like the sheet of the Beis Hillel, that it's mut. I mean, there's machlokas in the very end of Maseches Gittin. What has to go wrong in a marriage in order to warrant a divorce? What's considered a divorce with cause, and what's considered a divorce without cause? So Beis Hillel's shita is that a person can be megarish ishto even if just hikdicha tafshilo, even for some minor annoyance that she causes him. And therefore, if he's choshish that she was mekalkel, better to divorce her than to live with her in constant fighting. But the one that says it's mutar lekanos holds like the shita of the Beis Shammai, that you're not allowed to be megarish ishto unless you it's Matzaba Ervas Davar. So did this guy Matzaba Ervas Davar? He doesn't know. So rather than divorce, because you're not supposed to divorce unless you know that you're Matzaba Ervas Davar, so then you would have to go through the Sota process. So it all depends on whether divorce is a better option than Sota, because you could imagine the toxicity in a marriage after she's been accused, I mean, even if she's innocent, but after she's been accused of such behavior, and she's been accused, so how exactly do they ever make it work after that? So it could be that divorce is the better option in certain circumstances, depending on how much of a bidyeved you assume divorce is. So Amar Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, you have a pasach Reish Lakish besota. So he says, you know, when Reish Lakish would give the shir psicha to Masechta Sota, Amar Hachi, he would always drive home the following point. He would say, Ein mezavgin l'ladam isha ela l'fi ma'asav, that you should know that the wife that a person is granted min hashamayim is based on his own ma'asim, whether he's a tzad, so he's going to get an Isha Tznua, and if he's a Rasha, he's going to get an Isha Prutza. So the Mefarshim explained, the Yaakov, that it was the Reish Lakish was bothered, why does the Pasuk start with Parsha Sota from the perspective of the man? It says Ish Ish Kisista Ishto. Really, the whole Parsha is about a woman. It should have said Isha Kisista. So that's what he's saying, that the man is really the Gorim. Whatever's happening that's improper here, he should look in the mirror, because as much as he thinks his wife is behaving improperly, and she might be, but he was zocha to such a wife to behave improperly, because he doesn't behave properly either. The other achronim explained the Ri'af, that it was Reish Lakish was bothered by the Gemara says that the time of the smichus between Nazir and Sota is kolaro Sota b'kukula, he's going to be yazir atzmo minayayin. But according to that, it should have been had Nazir after Sota. So that's why Darshan's ein mezavgin isha la'adam elufi ma'isav, and if he was knowing initially with precious minayayin, then his wife wouldn't become a Sota. If he didn't play fast and loose his whole life, then his wife wouldn't become that way either. If he wasn't someone who was always drinking and doing things that were inappropriate, then he wouldn't have gotten there either. So it's as if the Gemara is saying that Reish Lakish was addressing this problem of the order of the Masechtas, that Sota comes after Nazir, Nazir to drive home the point. If you would have been a Nazir in the first place, lav dafka a Nazir, because it could be that it's Asir to actually be a Nazir. We learned about the Chet involved in being a Nazir, and not everyone is expected to be a Nazir, but if you would have been more like a Nazir, a little more precious in your life, then the wife would not have been a Sota. Anyway, Shneamar, because the Pasuk says, ki lo yanuach shevet harasha al gorel atzadikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mizdavig a Rasha together with a Tzadik. He's not going to put an Isha Rasha with a Tzadik. So the Gemara brings a discussion about how Shiduchim actually happened. Amar Rabbi Bukhana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, V'kashin lezavgan kikriyas yamsuf. That it's hard to translate the word V'kashin, but the simple translation would be as difficult to match up man and woman like Kriyas Yamsuf, where the entire nature and Seder Bereishis change. Shenemar, because in the Pasuk says, in praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Elukim Moshiv Yechidim Baisa Motzi Asirim Bakosharos. And it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mizaveg, Anish and Isha, who are the Yechidim, each one from their own bias, and he makes for them a new bias. That's Moshiv Yechidim Baisa. He takes two individuals from two other houses and makes for them a new house. And he takes Bnei Yisrael, who were trapped in Mitzrayim, who were jailed in Mitzrayim, in Bakosharos, in a month that is the most ideal month to have to be traveling, and that is Chodesh Nisan. It's not too hot in Chodesh Nisan. It's not too cold in Chodesh Nisan. It's the springtime. So from the fact that there's a hekesh in the pasuk, that the first half of the pasuk talks about Shiduchim, and then the second half of the pasuk talks about how Yitzias Mitzrayim happens in Chodesh Nisan, and that's our Daf Yomi coincidence. The day, how Yitzias Mitzrayim happens in Chodesh Nisan, so that tells you that that it's Kasha Kriyas Yamsuf. It's a little bit difficult because Yitzias Mitzrayim is not Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf happens after Yitzias Mitzrayim, but so that's a discussion that some of the Achronim have. Why do we say Kashan Lev and Kriyas Yamsuf and not Yitzias Mitzrayim? So it's because Chazal Darshan Bekosharos is a lashon of Bechi Veshiros. That's what the Toshans writes. That it was a Bechi the Mitzrayim and it was a Shira the Yisrael. So that was the Shira that they said Aliyam. That's what the Toshans explains. That's why we say Bekosharos not only means a Chodesh that is Kosher, a Chodesh that's very pleasant, but it means Bechi and Shira. So Bechi and Shira happened at Kriyas Yamsuf. So it says, well, really, it's so hard for Hashem to make Shiduchim. Eini v'hamarav Yehuda amarav. Didn't Rav Yehuda amarav tell us? Arbam yom kod mitzir savlad, bas kol yotzi so meres, bas ploni l'ploni, bayis ploni l'ploni, sod ploni l'ploni, that 40 days before yitzir savlad, there's already a bas kol that comes out and tells us exactly who's going to go to who, what field is going to go to what person, what house is going to go to what person, but most importantly, that first thing of what wife is going to go to what person. So it's already nikva in advance, 40 days before the yitzir savlad. Doesn't sound very difficult at all. It sounds like it's just a matching game up in Shemayim before the person's even born. So says Mar Lo Kasha Hab Zivug Rishon, when Rebbe said that it's Kodem Yitzirus Avlad, that it's all done and it's done easily, that's Zivug Rishon. That's based on the mazel, not based on one's actions. But Hab Zivug Sheni, whereas Reish Lakish when Reish Lakish says that it's Kasha Kriyas Yamsuf, that's Zivug Sheni. That's where it's Kasha Kriyas Yamsuf, because it's not the Bas Zugo that was Muchenes for him initially at Maisa Breish. Toshans writes, Zivuk Sheni means that they were both previously married. That if either one of them was never previously married, that's still called Zivuk Rishon. In the Torah Sakanaos, he's Medayik from Tosos, not that way. That it all depends on the man. If the man was previously married, that's called Zivuk Sheni. If the man was not previously married, that's called Zivuk Rishon, regardless of the woman. The Maral and others understand that Zivuk Sheni, Zivuk Rishon is not really about whether they've actually ever been married. It's just whether they've lived up to their potential to get the person who was their the one who was the initial zivug based on the mazel. And most people don't. Most people don't live up to their potential to be able to get that. And therefore, it's kasha kriyas yamsuf to do zivugin because the chances that you can have they can have both parties live up to exactly their potential to be able to be zocha to that are is is very slim. Okay, so then the Mishnah says that there's machlokas tanaim whether you need shnei edim to be made on the stira. Rabbi Eliezer omer mekanilal pishnayim. So we had said that Rabbi Eliezer holds that the kinoi needs two edim, but the stira only needs eid echad. And Rabbi Yeshua says, I agree about the kinoi, but I think the stira needs shnei edim as well. So says Gemara, oh, ad kan lo pligel bekinoi v'stira. The whole machlokas is only about kinoi v'stira, not really about kinoi, right? Meaning they both agree that kinoi needs shnei edim. Aval betuma, but when it comes to tuma, edus that the woman was actually mizana, then eid echad mehem. And then for sure, an eid echad is going to be believed, and we're going to be makabel that edus to say that she in fact is guilty. So we're not mashka asota if we know what happened. We're only mashka asota if we're mesupak about it. So if we know what happened, she's asur lebaila, they get divorced, she doesn't get a ksuba, she's asur lebawel, she's not allowed to eat truma, right? Meaning she gets all the worst results. The Rishonim raised the question, how could the Gemara be mochiach that Tuma only needs Eid Echad just from the fact that they argue about Stira? Maybe Adrabah, the Tuma needs Shnei Eidim, meaning they don't argue about Tuma. In a Chinami, there is no argument about how many Eidim you need for Tuma. But Mehechi Tesi that it's only Eid Echad. How do you know what opinion they both hold? You just know that they don't argue. So Tosa says that it's more Mistaver to believe Eidus that she was Nitma than it is to believe Eidus of Kinoi Stira, because there's Raglaim once you see that there's a kinoi and stira. Meaning the point is, after a kinoi and stira, if you then have an eid echad that she was nitmes, so then there's a good chance that that eidus is correct. The Tosa Rush suggests differently, that the Gemara is somech on the Tana that we're going to bring soon that says it beferish. So there is a Tana that says explicitly that an eid echad is neman, so it's not purely based on the diuk from our Mishnah. Alternatively, Tosfos Rush says, based on what the Mishnah says from Rabbi Yeshua, Mekanil al Pishnayim. So we said, why did Rabbi Yeshua have to say Mekanil al Pishnayim? Rabbi Elazar already said Mekanil al Pishnayim. The whole machlok is only about the stira. Ooh, so maybe the whole reason we mentioned it earlier, the whole reason he said Mekanil al Pishnayim is to show these are all the stages that you need Shnayim for. But when it comes to Tumah, you don't need Shnayim, then an Eid Echad is believed. So it says the Gemara Utnan Nami, and we have a Mishnah later on in Daf Lamed Aleph that also says that confirms. If one aid says, I saw that this woman had tumah, then she would not drink the aid as believed. She doesn't drink the meisota. How do I know that an aid echad is believed on the tumah after a kinoi and stira? I mean, again, if I didn't mention this, should have mentioned it, that if the aid echad were just stamped to see a random married woman, he's going to testify about a random married woman that she was nitmes with somebody, of course not believed. We learned you're not believed about a woman cheating on her husband alone. Of course you need Shnei Edim. This means if there's already a kinoi and already a stira, then an Eid Echad is believed. So how do I know that? The Tanur Rabbanan, we have a brisa that darshins the Parsha Sota. Pasuk says in the Parsha Sota, the Eid Ein Ba, that there was no aid. So Bishnai, and then she could become a sota. So Bishnai Makasa Bidaber. That means that there were two Edim did not testify, but one Aid did testify, and she becomes Asura based on that one Aid. Oh, Eino Ella, Afilu Be'echad. Or maybe the Pasuk is telling me Ve'eid Ein Ba, meaning that there's not even a single Aid. Tamalomar, that's why the Pasuk says, by Dine Eidus, Lo Yakum Eid Echod Be'ish. The Lechora, why does it have to say Echod? Mimash Mashnemar, Lo Yakum Eid Be'ish, Eini Yodei Yeshu Echad. If it just would have used the singular term Aid, I would know it means one Aid. Ma Tamalomar Echod, Ze B'nayav. Why does it say Echod? It must be a Binyanav. That Kalmakum Shnemar Aid, Harekan Shnayim, Ashir for Lechor. That the Torah is telling me that whenever the word aid appears, you should automatically assume it means two aidim, unless the Torah actually says echad. So that's why that one time it says echad. So the Bryce explains va'amar rachmana. The Torah says in Parsha Sota the aid ein ba, which means what? If the word aid always means two aidim, treylespa, that she doesn't have two aidim, that she was nitmes elachad, but there is one aid. And she was not taken advantage of, she was not raped. So it sounds like the Pasuk is telling me that since she was not an anusa, so she's asura. So you see that aid ein ba vihilo nitmasa, she's going to be asura. That with one aid, she's nema, with the one aid is nema, and that she's nitmes. At the time of the cost of loyakum eidachem v'ish. So says Gemara. The whole reason we know that an aid is neman by a sota, that an aid that it says by sota means shnayim, is from the fact that it says lo yakum aid echad, and we learn that that aid always means shnayim. But halav hachi hava mina, but without that limud, I would have thought aid de sota chadu. Right? Without this special limud, I would have naturally assumed that even the word aid by sota only means one aid. But frak the Gemara, but vi'i afilu chad leka el b'may mitzura. What do you mean aid ein? That there's not even one aid. If there's not even one aid that she was nitmes, how could she become asura? So why does it have to say in the Hemshech of the Pasuk, oh, and if she wasn't raped, so it sounds like it's coming to asur her. So itzrich, no, we need the limud of loyakam eid echad in order to be megala that the aid that it says by sota is shnei eidim, because there is a havamina otherwise. Salka taitachamina, I would have assumed that whenever this Torah says aid, it means aid echad. And aid ein ba, I would have said ein ne'eman ba. That it doesn't mean to say that she didn't have an aid echad, but that an aid echad would not be believed that she's nitmes. Only shnei eidim would be believed. That's how I would have taiched the pasuk had I not had this klal that the word aid always means shnei eidim. So I asked the Gemara, is that a viable taich of the pasuk? Ein ne'eman ba. You want to tell me that aid ba means aid ein ne'eman ba? Vela my ba'i. So what is the pasuk trying to tell me? Adi ikatrei, that she doesn't become asur until there are two aidim. So why would the pasuk have to tell me that? Lishto kramine, let the pasuk not say anything, and I would know. You always need two aidim. Dasya davar davar mi mamon. We learn davar davar mi mamon, that by a woman that's mezana, it says kimatzah ba ervas davar. By dine mamon, it says loyakum eidachem v'ish lekavar al pishnei aidim al pishoshen miyakum davar. So we know. I know you done it. That every Eidus in the Torah needs Shnei Eidim. So it can't be that the Pasuk is telling me that you need two Eidim by a Sota, because I don't need a Limud for that. So it must be that we have to explain the Pasuk Eidin Bud, that it's describing the story, that no one was made, that she was Nitma. So the Kasha, the original Kasha, comes back. Why does the Bryce have to learn from the Pasuk Lo Yakum Eidachem V'ish that the word Eid by Sota means Shnei Eidim? Without that, there's no other way to teach the Pasuk by sota. You don't need the loyakum eidachem v'ish to tell me that in kol haTorah kulo the word mean aid always means shnei eidim. It can't mean anything else over here. It can't mean that there's not an aid echad. We explored that possibility. So itzrich. Now I need the limud of loyakum eidachem, because without that I would have explained the pasuk of aid ein ba to tell me that an aid is not, an aid echad is not neman. You need shnei eidim. We just said davar davar mimamon kol haTorah kulo. Of course you need shnei eidim. Salka daitachamina sota shiny. Teraglayim ledavar ashari kinala v'nistera so l'samin ba elecha, because I would have had a hava mina that it's true in the rest of kalat arukuli you need shnei edim. I would have thought sota's the exception. She already had kino and stira. You see that something smells over here. So I would have imagined that an elecha would have been good enough, and therefore there's a viable hava mina to read the pasuk that an elecha is good enough. So now the Gemara goes back to ask on the answer that you need the limur of loyakum, because without that I would have said the eid ein ba is that an eid echad is not neman. You need shnei eidim. Or mimat zasamer to ein neman ba. Can you really say? Can you be mefarish the pasuk eid ein ba to mean that an eid echad is not neman ba visharia, and therefore she's muteres with the eidus of one eid? But the Hemshech of the Pasuk says that she wasn't taken forcefully. Mechal da Asura. Sounds like it's not trying to tell me that she's Muteres. It's trying to tell me she's Asura. Why else would you highlight that she wasn't taken forcefully? If you're telling me that she's Muteres, then of course if she was taken forcefully, she's Muteres. So by saying, oh, and this halach only applies if she wasn't taken forcefully, if she was a willing participant, that sounds like you're telling me an Isser, not a Heter. So how can you touch up the Pasuk to be telling me a heter? It's not even a havamina that should be telling me a heter. So it's so says Gemara. No, I need the pasuk of loyakum eidachem v'ish, because without that limud salka daitachamina ein neman ba adi ikatrei. I would have thought ein ba means that the aid is not believed unless there are two aidim, and the hemshuk of the pasuk of vihidil nitbasa is talking about when you have two aidim ubetrei nami vihidilon nitbasa. Even if you have two aidim to the tumah, That's only if she was not nitpasa. That's only if she was not taken forcefully. Kamashmulan. That's why the Brisa tells me lo yakum erecha be'ish, that whenever it says aid in the Torah Stam, it always means two. And therefore, when it says so, by sota the aid ain ba, it does not mean that there's not even a single, that a single aid is not believed, but two aidim are. It means to tell me that there were not two people that were made against her. There was only one person that was made against her, and still that one person is Naaman as an aid to Aser her, period. Now, the Mishnah went on to say, Rabbi Yishua Amar Mekanel Al Pishnayim. The Rabbi Yishua disagreed with Rabbi Eliezer, and he holds that you need two aidim for the kinoy. My time with Rabbi Yishua, where does Rabbi Yishua get that idea from? For the stira, rather. Where does Rabbi Yishua get that idea from? Amar Kra, ba, v'lo b'kinoy, ba, v'lo b'stira, that we darshan from the word ba, that as opposed to kinoy and stira, which both need shnei aidim, meaning aid and ba. You don't need shnei aidim for tuma, but you do need for kinoy and stira. For Rabbi Eliezer, Amar, ba, v'lo b'kinoy. Rabbi Eliezer says, I agree by the kinoy, you need shnei aidim. Ve'ema ba v'lo b'stira. Why does Rabbi Eliezer not make that other drasha that by stira also you need to aid him? Stira iskish l'tuma d'chsiv nisrav yinitma. Because whatever works for aidus for tuma works for aidus for stira, because the Torah links the two of them together. Kinoy nami iskish l'tuma, says more, but the Torah links kinoy to tuma as well. D'chsiv v'kinei ishto v'yinitma, in the same pasuk. Yeah, but hamiyat rachmana ba. But there is a drasha to be made from the word ba to tell me that there's at some point where you do need to aid him. Umari Isa, yeah, but why did you decide that should be the kinoy, that the kinoy needs two aidim and the stira needs only one aid? Meaning both of them have reason to say that they should only need one aid like the tuma, and there's one drasha to be made from ba to tell me that you need two aidim. But how do you know which one to apply that drasha to? Mistava stira adifa shekin asarta ketuma. It's more mistava to be more machmir on the stira, to believe in aid achad on the stira, because it's going to aser her misafek like a tuma. No, I would have said we should be more machmir about the kinoy, because that's the foundation of everything. Because after all, if with the kinoy alone cause any iser, without the stira nothing would happen. So the Gemara says, but if without the kinoy, then the stira wouldn't accomplish anything either. So we're still back to the kasha. Why does Rabbi Lazar compare the tuma to the stira more so than he compares the tuma to the kinoy? Why is it that eid echad is a requirement for stira, but not shnei edim, whereas shnei edim is a requirement for the kinoy? Afilu achi stira adifa das chalto de tumahi. Stira is more similar to tuma because that's when tuma happens. Meaning at the time of kinoy, there is no tuma happening yet. At the time of the stira, that's when the tuma is happening. That's the beginning of the actual tuma. Now we had said that the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer is that kinoy needs shnei edim and stira only needs eid echad. So now comes along the Gemara and says, Masnisin delokiyai tana. Tanya, there's another tana. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer, who reports in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, Hamekani lishto mekani al pi eid echad. That even the kinoy only needs eid echad. So piatzmo, or even by the husband himself. Umashkila al pishnayim, and he's mashka the meisota with two ede stira. So it flips the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. This Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda takes Rabbi Eliezer and says it's not two and then one; it's one and then two. The kinoy only needs one aid. So yeshivu chacham l'divrei Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda ein l'davar sof. But that's crazy. Anyone who gets angry at his wife is just going to say to her, do a kinoy, and that's it. She's going to become asura. So my time is Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. What's the basis for Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda? That ba teaches me that by stira you need shnei edim. Ve'im abavlo b'kinoy, but maybe it's just telling me kinoy needs shnei edim. No, kinoy is kashlo tuma. We compare kinoy to tuma, so this should sound familiar because we just took it from the other direction. D'chsiv v'kinoy is ishto v'hinitma. Well, stira nami is kashlo tuma. D'chsiv v'nistra v'hinitma. Stira is also compared to tuma. So who kamashir stira k'day l'kamashir stira k'day tuma udasa? You're right. Stira is compared to tuma, but it's not to teach me how many edim you need for stira. That's to tell me how long the stira has to be. That the definition of a stira is the shear that it takes to do a tuma. And the hekesh between stira and tuma for kinoy is about how many edim you need for it. So, Yeshiva Chamel Div Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda El Davar Sof, the Chamel said to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, El Davar Sof, any man man is just going to be mekani his wife and it's going to be good. So my nihu dezim de lo kani va'amar kanai. Even if he wasn't mekani his wife, he's going to claim after she had a stira that he already was mekani his wife previously, and he's going to aser her. Halam mishnah say no yesh l'dav herself, but that implies that we're good according to our mishnah de lo istater zim de lo istater va'amar istater. But shouldn't our mishnah be a problem also if the guy is believed to say that she had a stira? Sometimes she will not have had a stira, and he'll say my wife is asura to me. She had a stira. Of course, according to our mission, saying the davar sof. But even the Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda and davar sof. After the Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, lo mibayil mishnah seinu. Adrab, the mishnah seinu ike iker. At least in our mishnah, there's a basis for it because there was a kinoy al pishnayim hasam leke iker. But there's no basis, there's no foundation in the case of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Eli idmar hachi idmar. I'm Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Afle mishnah seinu ein ledavar sof. That not only l'shitas Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that you don't need any yesod and any beginning with edim, is it difficult and it's ein ledavar sof, but even according to the shita of Rabbi Eliezer in our mishnah, it's difficult because the guy can claim that she was nistra even if she wasn't nistra, because you don't need two edim for the stira. Okay, but Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Rabbi Chanina Meisura. Have a great day and a great Shabbos, everybody. Good Shabbos. Take care.